talk a little bit more about this topic, you know, especially, you know, the fact that the commercial break kind of interrupted my, you know, question, and, you know, just the whole delving into the history from MK Ultra. She covers all of that. They were totally mapping out the human brain, and none of these were good people. And, you know, they never got prosecuted. They always got rewarded. It's really unbelievable. They did use children a lot that were vaccine damaged. They knew that the vaccines were crossing the blood-brain barrier back then, and they were, you know, experimenting. You know, a lot of people don't realize that the vaccines, the ingredient list, you know, the package insert, is not accurate, and that's under contamination on vaclib.org. Independent studies have shown that there's lots of other things in shots, you know, just like lead, for instance. Why is lead in there? Because they want to see through your houses. They want to blame children for eating lead so they can get rid of lead paint so they can see through your houses. You know, I mean, it goes on and on and on, this micromanaging of humans and all the reasons the real reasons they do stuff. You know, none of the stuff they tell us is true. None of it. It's always for nefarious purposes. Correct, Shannon?
Yeah, exactly. Well said. And yeah, the lead paint is very suspicious, the timing of that and when that got phased out. I mean, if we were able to have lead paint now, we could shield our homes from this intrusion with all this, you know, the microwave, millimeter wave, everything. It's the perfect kind of material to stop that. And yeah, now we it stopped as soon as they start using wireless radiation to spy on us. So interesting timing.
You may not know this, but you know, there's a whole thing about putting biochar. This is Jenna's show, but there's a whole thing about mixing biochar in your paint, and that will block it. Did you know that?
No, but I'm behind on that research, but that sounds pretty amazing. So,
yeah,
we got to keep coming up with ways, right?
That exactly. Okay, so.
All right, so we were talking about brain doctors. I don't know how much you want me to talk about, like, then versus now, or you know, just now, or
just a couple things from the past. You know, just a couple things from the past that you feel like is pretty important leading forward, because they were all criminals back then. They did tons of stuff on anyone that was not fitting in. You know, not like your standard normal kid following, you know, the crap going on in school, you know, they weren't following the programming, you know. I mean, we don't naturally learn 45 minutes of one topic and just all the stuff that we're supposed to memorize, and then go to the next class and study math, you know, for 45 minutes, and then go to the next class and do a little artwork. That's not how we naturally learn. We delve into a topic and immerse ourselves in it for days before moving on to another topic. I mean, the whole school system, they know is wrong, and they've been doing this, but they want everyone to conform, and anyone that is not conforming, they want to experiment on and find what they can do to control them.
Right. Yeah, well, and this research has gone back at least to the 1930s, where they're actually opening up brains and putting electrodes in them, supposedly, again, like they did it with epileptic patients, supposedly to help them, right, with this open brain surgery, with these electrical currents. They were stimulating parts of the brain with electrodes. And this was they were using remote control. And, you know, Dr. Jose Delgado is a famous one who implanted into a bull's brain and was able to, like, stop the bull charging him with his, like, you know, his little remote control. And he's tortured just hundreds of thousands of animals, you know, monkeys. I mean, it's just horrifying what he did to them. This is the case for all these men. They first tortured animals, you know, did just terrible experiments on them. And then, you know, children, anybody who just they could get away with experimenting on, you know, homeless people, like just, you know, anybody committed to an insane asylum or insane psych ward, you know, really that helped serve their purposes as well. But they even experimented on a man named Leonard Kyle. It became a famous case that was a book and a movie was made after, based on that. It was called The Terminator Man. And this was actually like a well-to-do engineer, a successful engineer, very intelligent man, but somehow fell under their grasp. And that was that's a long story. But the point is that they basically microwave lobotomized him, and he wasn't like he was a vegetable the rest of his days, and in and out of psych wards, you know, the VA hospitals, and just destroyed him. You know, and saying that he was violent and, you know, had these violent rages, which was highly exaggerated. And then he actually became violent after they messed with him. But they wrote this book, Violence and the Brain, and they, Dr. Irving, Mark, and Sweet, and they actually got congressional funding for their violence project. They called it out of Boston. And they actually destroyed lives, but they pretended like, of course, the way they present it in their book was they helped these people. They helped a young girl who was had emotional or out, you know, she was hysterical, right? It's like, instead of taking away her uterus, let's destroy her brain and make her docile. But the point is that they didn't even succeed in making these people docile. They actually made them more violent, and they were really, you know, disturbed after that. They didn't do like long-term studies or present those. They just kind of presented what they wanted and wanted the world to see so they could continue these horrific experiments. There was some protest against some of them, and they did actually shut down a hospital that they had started in Southern California where they were going to use school children. And they are actually proposing things like we should, you know, implant kids with these and so that we can make sure they're not going to be violent, right? And so this is what's happening now is fast forward to today. We've got Elon Musk with his Neuralink, and we've got all these competing companies, even like Facebook and Amazon, getting in on this and like developing these different kinds of implants or even like helmets, you know, call them happy helmets. but like basically that you can wear or have in your brain. And they're saying, oh, they're just really little now. And yes, they have graphene oxide. That's a key component of these. There's actually like this whole graphene flagship, it's called, with EU donated, put $1 billion into this. This is for their in-brain, it's called, you know, like development of implants. Again, they always say they're just helping people, but ultimately they reveal that they're actually trying to communicate, you know, both ways with the brain and computers. And to the point where now they have something they call a twin brain. They can, okay, it's really getting weird now because there's the first country to actually write into its like constitution, I think it was Chile, that a neuro rights like, you know, amendment. So they're recognizing, as interestingly as of 2021, when the vaccine rollout, that we need to now somehow incorporate neuro rights into our legislation, into our constitution, so that we can protect people's thoughts from being read and manipulated, right? Because they're seeing that this is happening, and there's technology is like really just rushing forward with this. So yeah, there's just money going at it, lots of money and a lot of research, and they're just saying it's like safer now. It used to be not safe, but now there's like not so many side effects and they're little and it's going to be good for you and, you know, et cetera. So, but this twin brain is interesting, and I don't think it's in this section of my book. It might be later on, where they're mapping you're talking about mapping the brain, where, so basically the way I understand it is that they're making digital twins of people's brains by mapping their neural networks. So what they see that as is like, okay, say you have your computer with all your information in it and everything, and somebody just like took that and duplicated it, right? And then they have access to that. Well, that's supposed to be like what they see. They have access to your brain through your digital twin, which is really creepy. And of course, right, it raises all kinds of ethical questions and usage questions, like why? You know, what are they going to do with the digital twin? Are they going to put that into like an avatar hologram body of you? Are they going to, you know, is there going to be another you out there, like a doppelganger? I mean, it's just bizarre. It's so strange. I do actually have it in this section, digital twin brains. Yeah. So this is, I don't know what else to say about it. It's pretty crazy. It's getting crazier. But this is like been, this is just kind of built on the foundation of earlier research, and that at least for the last, we could say almost 100 years, maybe before that with the first, I mean, there was experiments with the first, when electricity was discovered before that, already trying to control animals and humans, like get their muscles to twitch, you know, just that rudimentary right. kind of control. But now it's advanced to the point that using the brain can actually control muscle movements and control actually people's bodies. And this is happening. You know, this is possible.
Right. Yeah. We had that happen at our house, by the way. You know, very weird. My husband experienced this because he was chipped from a distance, and it was an active chip. And people said, well, you need to get it out of you. But it's kind of like the Matrix, you know, that kind of stuff can move. I mean, I could be digging and move deeper into the tissue, and you're not going to wear a magnet all the time to disable it. And, you know, but then they did the head to skull thing, you know, where he was walking down the stairs, and, you know, it was like a thought projection kind of thing, and it was not his thoughts. Mm. And it absolutely creeped him out. And that was in 2000. 8 or 9. Yeah. I mean, he was killed in 2009, you know, with radiation. But I'm just saying, it was, you know, really creepy having that kind of stuff come into your space. And then we had spy stuff in our space.
Wow.
And, you know, we have to go outside and whisper outside in each other's ears. Wow. We wanted to have a private conversation.
Jeez.
Yeah, well, really creepy stuff. So I've seen the beginnings, you know, what I thought was the beginning of this, but it was already pretty advanced by the time they were, you know, we were experiencing it and going, oh my gosh, you know. So what I'm thinking, the graphene oxide, how soon were they experimenting on that? Can you share with us how soon were they using that as a material? Just
not that long ago. Let's see. I actually forgot the exact date, but I want to say within the last decade is when it was discovered. And so it's a new tech. At least according to what we're told, it's new. But everybody's excited about applications. There's like at least 60 applications listed, you know, in the literature about what could be done with it. I mean, there's a lot of toxicity reports in the literature as well, like official ones. I mean, horrifying toxicity reports. But it's amazing how quickly those are glossed over in favor of all the amazing things that could be done with it. I mean, this happens all the time with any industry. It's like, oh, we found this thing. Like, let's use it because look at all the things we can make with it and sell it, you know, and sell from it. So, you know, there's always going to be those capitalists who are so focused on industrialists who just want to make that profit no matter what at all cost, you know, doesn't care. They don't care about the costs. But also this is where the medical industry is really focused on using this as well. And they're excited about the uses again, even in the face of like all the toxicity reports coming out. This is like, so there's just so many. Oh, here's one quote I have about toxicity from one of the reports published in Particle and Fiber Toxicity, a 2016 paper titled Toxicity of Graphene Family Nanoparticles. And so it says it can induce acute and chronic injuries in tissues by penetrating through the blood-air barrier, blood testes barrier, blood-brain barrier, and blood placenta barrier, et cetera, and accumulating in the lungs, liver, and spleen. And they speak to these sharpened edges like blades that can cut through bacterial cell membranes, releasing intracellular contents into the body, causing cytotoxicity. And so this is just like doing so much damage. And this is what, you know, it's been referred to as like being like these tiny razor blades. And this can be causing bleeding and, you know, just oxidative stress and all, you know, all kinds of problems. So it's fairly new, and it's just focused on especially for this sort of Internet of Things, for all the smart everything, you know, just this massive surveillance society we're moving into. But unfortunately, it's been found in chemtrails and in applications for like geoengineering where, you know, this is openly obviously being used and as a new preferred to sort of the nano aluminum particles. And so this is obvious, this is already, I think, in the chemtrails, and that's why it's, we probably all have this in our bodies. We're breathing it in. And I would recommend highly to, there's a lot of different things you do for cleansing, but you want to take something that's going to increase your glutathione levels, because one of the key things that's been discovered about this is that it lowers glutathione levels, which can cause this, like, people to pass out, you know. And so something, yeah, so like I recommend Jiaoyuan tea. It's called immortality tea as well, and that raises glutathione levels. It's one thing you can do, but I have solutions in my book as well in the last chapter, and about all this. So
right, so you know, this whole CRISPR thing was always so creepy to me, where you could literally buy a kit for $100-$200 from Odin so that you can you know, it, I know the name of the company. Yeah. I mean, you put in
the I know, name. The Norse god, right, of war.
I know. You know, but this is all to, you know, allegedly, I mean, being sold if you have a bad gene, you know.
Yeah, right.
So their whole thing, like, you have a bad gene, you can go to get this CRISPR kit. I mean, they're all introducing it like this is the latest and greatest in technology. You want to talk about that a little bit and what CRISPR
stands for? Oh, gosh, I'm going to have to look that up again.
Oh, well, I'll just I'm reading your book.
Okay, you've got it right now. Yeah, I have to get clustered, that in front of me.
Oh, I know. Right. It's it says clustered, regularly interspersed, short, palindromic repeats. So whatever that is, I mean, yeah, you know, writing it. I mean, you know, no one's going to start saying, but that's what it is, and that's in chapter nine. Something, yeah. I don't know where I'm at.
One of those. Okay, here
eight.
It is. Yeah.
It's eight. Yeah. Yeah, it's on 350.
Yeah, you know, I've been, since I've written this book, I want to keep investigating a little bit more into what DNA really is. I think we're not being told the truth about that, kind of similar to, right, you know, viruses and that. And, you know, just the fact that the story around surrounding it, that like the founder's wife, or one of the discoverers in the 1950s, his wife had a dream about it and saw it as a double helix and all this. You know, there's just, I don't know what what's true and isn't about it. What we're told, you know, is that basically you're messing around with DNA and you're making these fundamental changes in order to, you know, create a new kind of species of something, right? So, and this is what we're told is being happening with food and that. But I wonder if it's just not a kind of fancy way of saying poisoning. And more poisoning, because poisoning actually results in what we might call, what we call genetic traits and genetic inheritance, is really just like, you could say, you know, inheritance. I mean, we used to just say inheritance, right? Maybe you get a certain hair, eye colors from your parents or whatever. But in terms of like malfunctions in your body and subpar kind of health and condition, I mean, that's always poisoning. Even if like the mother's poisoned and the baby's poisoned, it doesn't mean like they inherited some defect from the mother in a gene. It means like the mother was poisoned, therefore the baby is deformed, you know.
Right, and but so there is some stuff you can see in iridology where stuff is passed on. Like we had this whole case.
Right.
I mean, you know, like my granddaughter tends to look a lot like the father's father. You know, there's certain things that kind of come through, you know, and I don't know what you call it, genetics or whatever, but I'm just saying, this one
girl,
she had a propensity to be damaged from the smallpox vaccine from her grandfather. It was already built in genetically, and she took that. And she was severely damaged from the shot. And that showed up in iridology, someone who really knew their art. So I'm just saying, there's stuff like that. But okay, we have a break. There's a few people that want to call in because they have some questions that I'm not going to be asking necessarily. So if you don't care, we'll take some callers.
Sure.
Okay.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMontrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth, or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214, or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net, for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Aspect of a book. All I can say is I wanted to carry a lot of books, but I was like, no, this isn't cover it as in depth, and it's actually worth it because it tells you from the beginning the whole story of this absolute control of humans and how they systematically started from the early 1800s forward, and it's not just vaccines, but all the different kinds of poisoning and the mapping out of the brain and all the whole thing. I mean, she weaves together a brilliant story, and it is worth just having by your bed or just reading a chapter at a time and then going to the next chapter, because it'll give you a thorough education that you will not regret. So anyway, we are taking callers 512-248-8252. And, yeah, I love callers because they're going to ask things I'm not going to ask. So, Francis in North Carolina, you're on. So, thank you for calling in.
Hello.
Hi, Francis.
Hey, hello. Yes, by all means, they are definitely organizing this technology to help people. You know how? They're helping them. They're helping the people kill themselves. That's how they're using it to help people.
This is
hate
true.
To sound facetious saying that, but that's actually the honest truth about it. It's like,
well,
this is a first Go ahead.
Well, you're right near the Georgia Guidestones, even though that's far away. I mean, I thought it was like an act of God for them to even get the news that they didn't do any investigation into how they got destroyed. It seemed like literally an act of God just coming down from the sky. And then people are like, well, what is the Georgia Guidestones? And then they had to do some research, and wow, voila. There are people in the town where the Georgia Guidestones were, and they never even knew about it.
that is ironic.
That's one way to publicize it, right?
Yeah,
indeed. It's interesting you mentioned about that, because my other half and I actually went and visited that site back in the early 90s. And mm-hmm. as much as it was a fantastic structure, it was very ominous in the vibe or the energy. It was just ominous, because it came across as though, well, this is going to be beneficial to humanity. I'm thinking, yeah, except for one problem. You're talking about limiting humanity to a certain number, and that's it. I guess that, of course, now I look back on it, that's their slave force. That's not going to be people being able to go about their life every day, you know, running their life as they used to do. For that matter, that's more like their slave force that they're going to be using. Of course, then again, how are we not slaves now to begin with? But that I just found that structure to be absolutely ironic that they would have that, and the fact that it was constructed so mysteriously with the financing of it and so forth, ad nauseam. But the fact that it was destroyed when it was, it's like, okay, this timing is a bit odd. So, aside from that, you know, there's a lot of various sites that they do that with. I recall that taking one of the subway trains or whatever up to D.C. from one of the outer stop sites or whatever, like in Virginia or whatever, there is one Masonic temple. I am not joking. It is so surreal in appearance. You think, that can't be seriously real, because it just looks, it almost looks not, I wouldn't say cartoonish, but almost fake. But it's actually very real. And the steps that they have that goes up to this temple, this building, is very spooky in a sense. But if anybody happens to take one train, subway train or whatever, up to D.C. and pass by it, they might get a creepy vibe from it.
So this is just on the outskirts? I mean, what is it, in Virginia?
Yes, in Virginia. On the outskirts of D.C.
There's temples in, there's definitely Masonic temples right at the mall in downtown D.C. as well.
But this is in Alexandria, Virginia?
It might be. I couldn't say for certain, because I was going up to D.C. to meet some folks regarding the war scenario over in the Middle East, because of what happened with 9/11. The fact that we had troops over there that was over there for an absurd amount of time, and for what purpose, seriously. And that was one thing. But now, I did notice one thing else, too, is that, and make a long story short, We went up to go see some relatives for the holidays. And so they had holiday decorations and trees and whatever have you. But there's one thing I caught my attention that I was like, okay, this was way back when, in the early 2000s or whatever. And it struck me kind of odd. And one of the major buildings that are up in the District of Criminals, as I call it, they had on the corners or along the rooftop itself, obelisks. They were small. They seemed demure in size. But why would anybody have obelisks going across the around the corners of a building, as well as along the sides of the roof? I thought that was rather odd. Hmm. Tell me about it. But as far as the aspect of getting people geared up for this biotech nightmare, they're pretty much on their way, especially with the little mechanical toys that they got people using to crisscross and not really have any communication with their fellow human beings, for that matter. So it's become a nightmare.
Yeah, there are places you can't even get a landline phone. And I'm telling people, you've got to preserve your right to have a landline phone.
There you go.
That's really, really important to me.
Well, I know we have a landline phone. And quite frankly, and as a result, when they started doing this thing years ago about the smart meter deal, I literally had to go and get a medical document from a doctor saying that the reasons why we could not have one installed on the house. And so we had to mail it to them, let them know that it was declined and the medical reasons why and so forth. And it's like, okay, no problem. So we kept the meter that we originally had to start with. And kind of find out from the one person that comes by to read the meter, they're having problems with the reading of that said meters that are called a smart meter or whatever, with the radio frequency and all that. They're having a difficult time reading them, even from a distance, which tells me the technology is a fraud, not geared for the convenience of the reader themselves to get the bill drawn up for the customer's use. It's actually another flip side effect for it. So it's like, okay. And so people can get it changed if they want to. They used to need medical documentation, send it in and have them replace it. And they may claim that they need to pay a fee to go and have it changed out. That is a crock of legalese BS. They don't have to.
We're dealing with that here. It's really hard. There's so much corruption in Idaho, if you only knew. I don't know why people...
Ooh, ow.
So, yeah, we have not been able to remove it. We have lots of stories. Believe me, you don't even want to know.
Some companies do not let an opt out for any reason, and that's why we had to move from our last home and move out of state because of that. Yeah, so you're lucky. That's great that you're able to do that. And I want to just say about the depopulation aspect of the shots that you touched on and the Georgia Guidestones and all this. We do not want – there might be people out there who think, that would be great to just have that many people in the world. It would have all this space and all these resources and everything. Like you said, Francis, like, that is not what's going to happen. That remainder half a million people is going to – or half a billion people will be enslaved. You know, they will – I mean, we want these numbers. We're strong in numbers. Like, we don't want to see this happen. Like, we will lose everything we've got. I mean, we need each other. The only reason they haven't completely taken over us as complete slaves yet is because of how many there are. Because we still have a chance of resisting. And so, yeah, like, get that thought out of your head. If you think it's going to be some utopia, if there's, like, you're one of the people who survived. No. Right.
Right. That's just why we need to do the Empower Movement. Serious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, believe me, I should be moving out of the state, too. But, I'm a fighter. But, yeah, we have served notices of liability to all the current members. And many have been there forever. They're always appointed. They're always... elitist players, they do whatever the bidding of these masons that run everything, but they're on the Idaho Public Utilities Commission, and everyone has a public utility commission. Every state has one of those. And if they won't consider any kind of opt-out or don't give a rip about the people and the health effects, well, then the companies are going to force a smart meter on everyone's house. So that's true in Idaho, I'm just saying. And in Washington's actually better, believe it or not, Washington State.
Of course, there's one thing they didn't consider, the aspect that the everyday person can go and consult an attorney, a lawyer, whatever the case is, legally speaking, and put their foot down, and they have to address that in the favor of the customer.
They've already done that, the IPUC.
Oh, have they?
Oh yeah, we have cases.
Oh
and
no,
use attorneys. Oh yeah, I'm just saying, if it doesn't come from the FCC, forget it.
Oh my
word.
Yeah,
we need it. Our community need it to raise $100,000 to be able to hire a lawyer to defend us. So
how much?
$100,000. Yeah, that was the retainer that we were quoted for fighting the utility company.
Okay, so, that
sounds we couldn't raise that money, so we so a few of us had to move, and that's
That sad truth
rigged. In a lot of places. That's where the corruption is just so corrupt. But we need to keep fighting it.
Oh my word! Well, I wish y'all good luck.
Yeah, thank you, Francis. If there's another caller, so if you don't have any,
have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, Francis.
Y'all have a great weekend. Play hard. Take care.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So we have John in New Hampshire on line 3. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, what's going on, Ingrid and Shannon? It's funny you guys are talking about mental health, and I have a little bit of a personal testimony and confession. I'm a recovering misogynist, and you guys are helping me quite a bit to recover.
Very good.
No, you guys are great, and Shannon, I'm John that ordered the books from you, and
hi, John. So, yeah, nice to hear your voice.
Hopefully you're doing better out there. And I just wanted to give kudos to a couple of people, too. Another great woman. I think I mentioned it to you in my email to you. Her name is Jennifer Lake, and she's great. Her latest entry is on Lahaina, what happened there. And it's you can get to her blog at jenniferlake.wordpress.com. She's also got a whole other website dedicated to polio. I think I mentioned that to you. I think it's polioforever.com.
Right. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy out of Southern California. He goes by the Fullerton Informer. His name is Joe Imbriano. I don't know, Ingrid, you may have heard of Joe. But he's
I've read
great,
some of Fullerton. His writings.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Joe, he's got so much information. And, like I said, he's on BitChute. He's got a BitChute channel. But Joe Imbriano, but he goes by Fullerton Informer. Now, a couple of quick things. I was thinking about, my God, you go to Walmart, right? And you see all the people in these Walmarts, and you say, what the hell? We got genetically modified foods, but I think we got genetically modified people. Because I think what would be interesting would, if there's anybody that has, there's got to be some people that have photos of, the early Walmarts, like in the 1980s, early 1980s. And if they could do, you compare cities that have been bombed or have turned into horrible places and before and after pictures, well, you could do, a side-by-side of Walmart shoppers of the early 1980s and the Walmart shoppers of today. And you have to ask yourself, what the hell happened to these people? Why are they all so misshapen and overweight? And obviously, I'm not saying that vaccines are the only thing, but obviously vaccines have got to be a contributing factor that have turned these people into slobs. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I would say, it's funny you mentioned that because I just tell people, look at old Hollywood movies from the 1940s up through the 70s, and you'll see more recent ones. You can't even get enough extras on the street to have like thin, healthy looking people on the streets. So that is a testament right there. We've got this footage, these old photos, and you see how much healthier people actually looked compared to today. So I definitely have noticed the same thing. People, for some reason, maybe especially at Walmart, only because these are the poorer people, people who are more disenfranchised or they don't have the money to buy good organic foods, or they haven't learned even to buy them. And they're kind of stuck with eating. All you have to do is kind of look at what's in their shopping carts, and you can put that together and see why they look like they do. But I really, my heart goes out to children who are just, they're kind of not able to even walk hardly because of, like you said, they're so misshapen. This is not to make fun of people, but just to have sympathy that people are really suffering and they're very ill, and very unhealthy.
Oh, yeah. No, I realize that, but I'm thinking to myself, I realize that the vaccinations are just one component. Then you've got, you got a myriad of other factors involved. So it's not just vaccinations. But I'm pretty sure these vaccines that they've been giving people increasing amounts over the last, several decades, that's got to be a factor. And I wonder if they're able to make people more prone to being fat or obese. I don't know.
It's actually true, because there's something called the mouse weight test. And this is one of the tests. Sometimes it's the only test for toxicity for vaccines. And basically what they do is they take some mice and they jab them, and then they take their weight measurements before and their weights before and after, like just a few days after, and there's a certain amount of weight gain that they find acceptable, and then they can say it's not toxic. They don't actually do this over a long period of time, but the point is that the vaccines show a significant increase in weight in the subjects that they're tested on.
Wow. And that's very interesting. And my last question is, I know Ingrid has mentioned this book in the past a few times, and you talked about, I'm wondering, like, the relationship, this book by Harris L. Coulter, Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality. And I'm wondering, too, with the off the charts, violence, the violence now is, like, off the charts. It's unbelievably high. And I'm wondering if they're, I guess maybe Ingrid would know whether the point that this guy was making was that vaccinations are related to the increase of all this crazy violence that we're seeing.
Oh, he documented that clearly in the book, that it crosses the blood-brain barrier and how it would actually interfere with an element of the brain that ties into conscience and the soul. And you'd have these, you see it in little kids, where they get a thrill out of pulling the wings off flies and stuff like that. And seeing little animals suffer that they can have control over, or drowning a cat, those are vaccine damage. That's actually a thing, the Ted Bundy phenomenon, all of that, that's actually a thing. And he cites all kinds of cases. So Harris Coulter was a brilliant historian, medical historian. He had a PhD in medical history, and he knew a lot of these, the whole history of these devils. So he's passed, but Dr. Ted Koren, he's a chiropractor. He actually has on his website the Culture Reader, and it's a compilation of a whole bunch of his writings that were never published in a book because he was best friends with him. And oh my God, that's probably worth its weight in gold. And I could, find a link and put that in the chat room and send you guys a link. Because that's actually worth owning.
And yeah, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, you would love that book. It's, but it takes off from the same book, that was, really a rocking thing at its time. But that one book, the subtitle was The Assault on the American Brain. That was the subtitle to Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality. So anyway, yeah, I used to sign it all the time just because of the title. in letters to the editor, I'd get it in the library, try to wake people up.
Right.
Hey, my last point is this. Very good. Very good information there. And all I can say is, too, is to, as far as who's responsible for this, the Masons or the Jesuits, all I can say is to the white people out there, they better get used to reading their Bible, and they better go to Genesis 3:15 and understand the two seed lines and who's the two seed lines mentioned there. It's a war between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Once you understand who the seed of the serpent is, you got your answer to who's responsible for all this stuff. So with that, I'll let you guys go and have a great rest of the night. And thanks again, Shannon. You're amazing. Yeah. And like I told you in the email, you're my hero.
Oh, thanks so much, John.
One of my heroes, and Ingrid, you're not too far behind.
Wow. Yeah, no, I would agree with you, John. I adore Shannon. She needs to be protected into the future.
Movement. Hey, Ingrid, and you're only talking about one of her books. She's written two other ones.
Oh, I know.
Well, we talked about other ones before.
What about her children's book? She has Wi-Fi Refugee, The Plight of the Modern Day Canary, and then she co-authored with, I forget his name, but
John Hammer.
John Hammer. But you got a lot of information. Your research and doing his book kind of led you to have a lot of background into doing Shots Fired. So it really helped. It was like one thing led to another, and then you have a children's book. And I love your children's book. So go ahead and share. We love children's book that actually tells a real story that feeds the soul, feeds the heart. We have these beautiful animals that they're torturing in the name of science. Are you kidding? These are beautiful sentient beings that are our companions on the planet. And there's no one that knows this more than Shannon, because she's, you know, you can share that kind of experience, because we don't have any more callers, so you can share about your other book, because I think everyone should buy your children's
book. Hey, Ingrid, can I say one more thing? There's one guy I forgot, and this guy happens to be Jewish, and he's backing up a lot of stuff that I say, and that's the great Henry Mackow, M-A-K-O-W,
yep.
Henry
yep,
Mackow.
Yep, yep.
Yeah,
I like Henry Mackow. I loved him from the very time I saw SaveTheMails.ca, and I saw anyone that's going to get that website, hey, he's got my vote. that was great.
And then you can't. And then his sidekick or his buddy from the same seed line, the same clan, because there are good ones from that clan. They're not all evil, you know. I mean, there's the good ones and bad ones. Like there's bad and good whites. But anyway, what do you think of Brother Nathaniel?
Yeah, I know Brother Nathaniel personally, so that's a whole other thing. But yeah, I just want to mention, you know, John Rappaport. He's part of the tribe too, and they all know not to go and delve into 9/11 truth. Okay, that's a warning, or they will be taken out. Right. So that's just a thing. You know, anyone that's in the tribe, they do know there's boundaries.
Right. Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, I would imagine that there is. But anyway, yeah, just
and even Henry Mackow, I have a little disagreement with him too. But anyway.
Nobody is going to agree with everybody on everything.
Well, no, it's what he put in his book when he did it to save his butt in Canada, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway, I don't agree with him on everything either, but I'm just saying. But anyway, check out Jennifer Lake, check out Joe and Brianna.
I posted it in the chat room. You can post it in the chat room too, immunizewisely.chatandgo.com. So, Shannon, thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry. I got cut off there.
So tell them about. you know, and how you led to, you know, I mean, you have a whole history of working with sea creatures, you know, and
yeah.
So yeah, it's
I want to say my last book I actually had tried. I was going to do under a different name, and I've taken it down. Decided not to do that. I wanted to separate the genres of my work, but I've already published some under Rowan, and I was thinking about doing a different name. I didn't really get that comfortable with it, so I gave you the one under that name. I'm not going to say it because it's not up right now, but I am going to re-release it under my name, and I might change my name's spelling. It's a marketing thing. But anyway, so that one's not available right now, but it is called Salty and the Seals, and it's about seals rescuing a dog, and that is actually based on a real story. And seals do rescue dogs and people. They have rescued them from drowning even recently in the news in California, there were a couple of cases of this in the last couple of years. So, I love the sea creatures, especially seals. And, but I publish, I have another book. It is out under my, and you can find it under my author page on Amazon, which is, called, The Goldfish of Brandywine Farms. And it's as told by Stinky the cat. I had a cat named Stinky for 20 years. And I'm not going to give it all away, but he is involved in rescuing some goldfish. So I like to focus on, I call it interspecies cooperation tales. I agree with you. I think that animals they're so important to us as companions. And I have a friend who calls them angels. You know, they're angels to look after us. And it really feels that way. You know, if you've had your own companion animals and you've been close to them, I mean, they're so innocent and they're so loving and, you know, so forgiving and, you know, and we put them through so much, you know, so anything we can do to relieve suffering of animals, any innocence, that's what really gets me going and gets me angry is when innocent creatures, animals or people, especially children, you know, are harmed is just like, too much of an offense to me. You know, it's just like something that has to stop. Unfortunately, there's so much of that happening, and so much of it happens in medical research,
yep,
where both children and animals are tortured, disposed of, you know, disposed of in mass graves in the case of children who were experimented on for vaccines and drug research by Fauci and friends, you know. So this is like ongoing, just it's like the unwanted, the orphans, the foster care kids, you know, they're just seen as disposable, and same with like stray animals, you know. So it's just horrifying. I mean, sometimes animals, pets are stolen, you know, stolen from owners for this kind of just to sell for research to medical labs. So yeah, it's horrible. And so, yeah, I like to, I'm a painter and, you know, photographer, my background, before I got into, more writing and research. And, yeah, so it's a relaxing thing for me to do, to paint the animals. And so I am working on more. I don't have another book in the works, except, like I said, this one that isn't up at the moment, but, I am going to have more books out, I think, at some point, with for both more research, you know, topics and for children's books. My next, I have two books actually that I'm working on next after shots fired, and one is about the climate hoax and, you know, greenwashing agendas, and really about real ecology and what, you know, real ecology looks like, and what's the other one? Yeah, a digital and tech addiction. So big projects. It's going to take me probably a few years, but yeah, that's what's happening.
Wow. So you have major projects. So yeah, please support Shannon Rowan and her work. You can go to Wi-Fi refugee, .com
with, yeah, it's just that there's a hyphen between Wi-Fi and refugee. So Wi-Fi-refugee.com.
Right. That's correct. So wifi-refugee.com, just repeating her. I'm a little parrot here. And she has all her work is up there. You can look at her stories or history. So, yeah, support her work. It's really hard recovering from the devastation to their community and her house, too. I mean, it was miraculously saved. Your prayers work. We're all extremely grateful. But at the same time, you know, I mean, you don't have a garden anymore. You're relying on that for some of the winter months, you know, being able to harvest out of it. How is the water situation going
on? Oh, yeah. Well, so what I'm trying to find out more about is like where and when and what they dumped on us for some of the fire retardants. You know, we've been mm-hmm. kind of advised to have a filter. We were actually having to take water from the creek when we moved back because our water line to the spring was damaged and melted. And that took some weeks to repair. And so we used to drink the creek water, no problem. It was very clean, but now, you know, we've been drinking that, unfortunately, without really totally considering like consequences and how contaminated it might be now. But there's other just so many disruptions in terms of, you know, luckily we finally had some really good rain this week, and otherwise it was just weeks of smoke, heavy smoke. They were doing like fire operations where they were back burning. So there was actually like more fire, more smoke near us, plus just constant traffic on our forest road. And only certain hours we can travel on that and the highway to get anywhere. So it used to take an hour to go to town one way, and now it takes at least two. And now we just found out that for the next few weeks they're going to be cutting the you know, what they consider hazardous trees along our forest road. And that we won't even be able to travel on our forest road between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. So for us to go anywhere means that we have to go really early and come back late and spend the entire day out. So just to get groceries, anything. And so it's extremely life disrupting. And my partner had work, you know, off property here that he couldn't do for several weeks. And he's only just getting back to now, but he has to like stay overnight on site over there because of the disruption with the, it's pretty intense still, you know, it's not really settled down yet. And I got sick finally from all the smoke inhalation. I'm just getting over that. So Yeah, we're trying to see about, I want to make somebody come test our water. I think that that should be something available, like where people who have been impacted by this, you know, fires and...
Well, we're talking the health department, but the government is shutting down.
That's the other thing happening, right? So,
yeah, so the government, I mean, when, you know, when the federal government shuts down, the federal government is supporting a lot of the state governments, over 50%, whether it was years ago, and now I think it's much higher. You know, if there's, you know, so anyway, it's a whole other thing. You know, we have a someone who has a quick question. Do we want to take it?
Sure.
Okay, Catherine in Maine, quick question.
Hi, I just wondered what brand of that tea that do you use for the glutathione, and how much per day?
Oh yeah, you know, I was just getting—I don't remember the name of the brand I found on Amazon, unfortunately—and it said organic, but then I'm not really trusting that now. It seems like if you buy Jiaoyuan, and that is J-I-A-O-U. I'm going to mess this up. It's something. Look up immortality tea. But yeah, it's a Chinese herb. I'm less trustful of them now in terms of them being actually organic and anything. Like, it's very difficult to find. But we have a local provider who's actually like, and when I say neighbor, it's loosely. We live off grid and, you know, everybody's kind of far away. But a neighbor of ours on the other side of the mountain grows it, and that's if you look up Alpha Vedic farm, there's an Alpha Vedic like podcast in that, and I've been on the show before, and they actually sell this tea. In terms of like recommending how much, I was just seeing how I felt personally. I think that might vary, you know. I'm just kind of going with having like a cup or two a day. I definitely would have more if I'm going into town where I'm going to get more exposures to EMFs, and I think it also helps me if you're living at high altitude. It's also really helpful because it just is like oxygenating, and I felt a difference. I've had problems, you know, I live at altitude to some degree, and I felt that I got affected by that, and that this tea really helps me. But I don't really have much more to say about it. I'm sorry.
Okay. What state are you in, may I ask?
Oh, in California.
Because it's hard to be off the grid these days.
It is, and they definitely target it. It felt like was another topic, and we don't have much time left, but we are in a really, like, one of the last kind of wild frontiers here toward the border, and a lot of these off-grid properties seem to be targeted with the wildfires in this.
Okay, thank you so much. But, thank you, Andrew.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Shannon. And we'll have to do this again. So whenever you feel like coming on again, we'll have to delve into another section.
Yeah, sounds great. All right,
okay.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
All right, we flew by again.
Oh my gosh, are we not off the air? I thought we were off the air. I'm like trying to do all this other stuff. Oh my gosh. Oh well.
Oh.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. I mean, Frank. Oh my god, I've
done
this before.
I'll thank Sam.
I've done this, Frank. Frank.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.